وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته الأفول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى، وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعنها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. If the line gets dropped, if you want, I can hold the landline, the cord, you know, the cord line as well, alongside. I'm just afraid the voice gets, you know, worse if I hold that line as well. So you can call me again if the line gets dropped. We have been discussing about the six evidences regarding the existence of God. We already talked about those six evidences, and today our lesson is about the evidence regarding the oneness of God, the evidence regarding the oneness of the existence of God. There are several evidences about the oneness of God, but I would just focus on one of those evidences and move forward to the sifat and attributes of God, which is also a very important discussion, and we would like to cover that discussion as well today, inshallah. Quran has informed us in chapter Al-Mu'minun, verse number 117, that is 117. Quran has said that those people who claim several gods have no evidence to furnish. وَمَنْ يَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ. As someone who calls another a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another god other than Allah, has no evidence. And so this is a claim without evidence. Nobody can ever furnish an evidence about a second god. We find that a person who used to believe in two gods came to Imam Ridha alayhi salam and said to him that I believe there are two for this universe, and what evidence do you have about one God? Imam Ridha alayhi salam replied, and this is narrated in Kitab al-Tawheed of Sheikh Saduq, page number 270. Imam Ridha alayhi salam replied that قَوْلُكَ إِنَّهُ إِثْنَانِ قَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ لِأَنَّكَ لَمْ تَدَّعِ الثَّانِيَةِ إِلَّا بَعْدَ إِثْبَاتِكَ الْوَاحِدِ فَالْوَاحِدُ مُجْمَعٌ عَلَيْهِ وَأَكْثَرُ مِنْ وَاحِدٍ مُخْتَلَفٌ فِيهِ. Imam Ridha alayhi salam gave a beautiful response to this person who is asking Imam Ridha alayhi salam about an evidence that Allah, that God is one. Imam said to him, he believes in two gods. So Imam said to him, your statement that there are two gods, your statement that there are two gods itself is an evidence about one God. How? He said, when you say there are two, it's a dalil and evidence that you did not claim, you did not claim the second God unless and until until you have proven the first one. Then you claim the second one. So, first one is a matter of consensus. That means consensus between us, the believers in one God, and you guys who believe in two. So, first God is a matter of consensus. وَأَكْثَرْ مِنْ وَاحِدْ مُقْتَلَفٌ فِيهِ. And more than one is a matter of controversy. So actually you are also proving the existence of one God. And after that you try to prove the second one. For the first one, it's a matter of consensus between everybody. So you also accept about the first God. And the second one is controversial. So it's a very simple but strong argument. And Imam Ali alayhi salam has said in Nahj al-Balagha, Maktub, the writing number 31, or the letter number 31, in which he has mentioned another evidence, where he says, وَعْلَمْ يَا بُنَيَّ أَنَّهُ لَوْ كَانَ لِرَبِّكَ شَرِيكٌ لَأَتَتْكَ رُسُلُهُ وَلَرَأَيْتَ آثَارَ مُلْكِهِ وَسُلْطَانِهِ وَلَعَرِفْتَ أَفْعَالَهُ وَصِفَاتَهُ أَفْعَالَهُ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَلَكِنَّهُ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ كَمَا وَصَفَ نَفْسَهُ لَا يُضَادُّهُ فِي مُلْكِهِ أَحَدٌ. Imam Ali says in this letter number 31 of Nahj al-Balagha that if there was a partner to your Lord, that partner would also have sent his messengers. You don't find anybody else sending his messengers to us. All the prophets of God coming to the humanity for the guidance of humanity were coming from one side, from one Lord. 124,000 prophets of God arriving from the behalf of Allah, from behalf of one God. You don't find no messenger coming from the behalf of another Lord. If there was another Lord, if there was a partner to Allah, he would also send his messengers, and his kingdom, and his government, and his actions, and his attributes would have some signs. But there is only one God, and he's the one who has, and there nobody contradicts his law, nobody opposes him in his realm, in his government, in his kingdom. Our scholars have installed several evidences, but like I said, I would mention just one today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the wajib al-wujud, he's the compulsory being, and we are talking about wahdatul wajib right now. We are talking about the fact that wajib al-wujud is one and only one, and not more than one. When we believe that God is an absolute existence, unlimited, limitless, absolute existence, and there is no limit to his existence, then we should also be believing in the fact that any limitless, absolute, unlimited existence does not allow any space for anyone else to exist beyond his own existence, because his existence does not leave a space for anyone else to be there. Because once you say that he's limitless, he's absolute, when he's absolute and limitless, there is no space remaining for anyone else to exist. Because that's how you can visualize, that's how you could think about a limitless existence. Otherwise it would be limited. If you limit the existence to a limited existence, then there would be a space remaining for some other existence to be there. But once you say that Allah, who is the wajib al-wujud, is mutlaq, it's absolute, and it's ghair al-mutanahi, it's limitless, it doesn't have any limit, it does not provide any space, does not leave any space. other existence to be there, because Allah's existence has filled up all the everywhere. It has filled everywhere, because that's how you could think about a limitless existence. When you say it's limitless, when you say it's absolute, it has already filled up everywhere. When it has filled up everywhere, there is no place remaining for any second person to be. So, أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Wherever you turn, you find the wajh and face of Allah. So the wajh of wajib al-wujud, which is unlimited and absolute, is everywhere, and there is no space for any second existence to be, because there is no space left for anything. Everywhere it's Allah. God is everywhere, and it's absolute and unlimited. If it was limited, it would have been a creature instead of the creator, because limited things are created, and there cannot be a creator. So God is not limited, because if he was limited, he would have been a creature, not a creator, because every limited thing has limits and bounds and a time frame and a space which is limited where it occupies. And all these things do not, they are not compatible with the definition of God. So if God was limited, he would have been a creature, and he would, and a limited thing cannot be God, cannot be a creator. He would be limited in a specific time frame and space and boundaries, which is not compatible with the definition of a creator. He would have been needy towards space, needy towards that time frame, and needy towards those limitations and things in which he is surviving and living. So God is above all that, and he is not needy towards anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, of course, absolute and unlimited. We find that Allah is, an existence which has no nihayat and no limit in its in any form, and okay. So now we are coming to the point about the fact about the attributes and sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has several good names and sifat. It has been said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names are countless. Sifat means the attributes. Allah has countless names and attributes. Every existence in this universe is a sign of God that leads us towards Allah. The names of Allah are actually countless and limitless, and all of them guide us towards Allah. And every creature of God guides us towards Allah. Now, whatever the extent of guidance, as much as a creature is able to lead us towards Allah, in its own to its own extent, it leads towards Allah. If we study about 1,000 names of Allah only in the Dua al-Jashr al-Kabir, 1,000 names of Allah mentioned there. Then we have the 100 famous names of God, the 99 names of Allah. Then we have the 73 names of Allah, you know, Ism-e-Azam, the great names of Allah. And 72 of those greatest names of Allah are with the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and the 73rd one is Al-Ismul Musta'sarul Ilahi, the al-Hashr, in the last verse of the surah, هو الله الخالق البارئ له الأسماء الحسنى. And I would just mention these ayats for those of you who want to refer, they can refer to the Holy Quran themselves. Again, in Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 23 and 24, Allah has said, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. And so Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 23 and 24, where Allah mentions few of his other attributes. Knowing about the existence of God is easy, but properly understanding the attributes of Allah is tough. And the reason why understanding about the attributes of Allah is tough is that we have been raised in this material world where everything that we have seen in our lives up till today is material and body and jism. We have seen the bodily creatures up till today. We have been acquainted and familiar and habituated towards looking at the bodily existences around us. Since Allah is not a body, He's nur, He's not a body and not physical and material, His attributes are ayn al-zat, they are nothing but His essence itself. His essence and attributes are one and the same thing. There's nothing like Allah other than Allah. That is why it makes it tough to explain to the people about the attributes of Allah. Because whenever we talk about the attributes, people, what they do, what the human mind does, it tries to make it similar to things that we have seen in our life. And what we have seen in our lives is nothing but material and bodily creatures. Whereas right now we are talking about someone who is not a body, who is not material. So this is what makes the job tough and hard. But we have to do that. It's a tough job, but we have to do that in order to understand it properly. Allah has several attributes, and all His attributes are ayn al-zat. Nothing but His essence. Allah is Rahman. So the same Allah is Rahman and the same Rahman is Allah. Allah is Rahim, all merciful. And the same Rahim is nothing but Allah and Allah is nothing but Rahim. Allah is Kareem. The same Kareem is nothing but Allah and Allah is nothing but Kareem. So the attributes are ayn al-zat. They are nothing but the essence. And essence are nothing but the attributes. They are one and the same thing. All the existences in this universe are limited, and the attributes of the existences are limited. But since the attributes of Allah are nothing but His essence is unlimited, so all His attributes are also unlimited. Because they are ayn al-zat, they are nothing, attributes are nothing but His existence, but His essence. So His attributes are also unlimited like His essence. And the best, like I said in the beginning, it's hard to explain and understand properly the attributes of Allah because of the fact that we are habituated with the situations of bodies in this world in which we have been raised. We have seen the bodily creatures. We are not acquainted with the non-material things. So we find it hard to understand a creature, Allah, understand an existence like Allah who is unlike any other thing. So, the best way to find a way out in that situation and to get it understood properly is to stop comparing Allah with anything or any other creature. We because God is unlike anything and unlike any of his creatures. The Creator should never be compared to any creature. The Creator should never be compared to any other thing because he is unlike anything. So that's the SA. And our scholars give the example, just like a child who's raised in the, who has been living for several months in the mother's womb, he has no idea about this world outside because he hasn't seen that world. If you try to explain to a child living in the mother's womb how this world is, he cannot understand because he has never been through that situation. Similarly, we don't know, we have no idea about non-material world, so non-material world, we find it's hard to understand how God's attributes are there, but they are in nothing but his essence and aim of God, and they are not za'id par zat, they are not added to his essence. Like once upon a time, we were born, we didn't have knowledge. Later on, we acquired knowledge. Once upon a time, we were born, we didn't have strength and power. Later on, we acquired qudrat and strength and power. So we are different. We gained the attributes and sifat later on. When we were born, we didn't have those attributes. God is unlike that. He had all those attributes. They are nothing but his essence since ever, and attributes will always be his essence, and it's nothing but his essence. They cannot be separated. They are not za'id par zat. They are not added over his essence, that there was a time when his essence was there and there was no attribute. Later on, he acquired the attributes like the humans. No, there was no time like that. Since ever, God was there and his essence was there, and his essence was nothing but his attributes. Attributes were nothing but his essence. They were one and the same thing. So this is what makes it a little bit tougher to understand. But once you understand, properly, it would, then be clear. And the bottom line is that we have to remember, we should not try to lighten or similarize or make anything similar to the Creator, because there is nothing similar to the Creator and there is no other example for him. So, and Quran has already informed us in Surah Al-Ikhlas or Surah Al-Tawheed, another name for the same surah, verse number 4, لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. So there is no counterpart to Allah. There is no one who is similar to God. There is no similarity and no one similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God's attributes have been divided into two kinds. Certain attributes of God are called subutiyya, sifat subutiyya, the attributes which are found in him, and other attributes are called, classified as sifat salbiyya, the attributes which are the negative attributes, that means attributes which are not found in Allah. Sifat al-Subutiyya, the attributes which are found in God, are also called Sifat al-Jamal, the beautiful names. So, and the attributes which are not found in Allah are also called Sifat al-Jalal. So, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain sifat al-subutiyya or sifat al-jamal, attributes which are found, and Allah has certain attributes which are not found in him. To put it in a very short sentence, very short sentences, Allah is unlimited and limitless and absolute. So every good attribute and perfect attribute is found in Allah. And he is absolute in every aspect. Every good attribute is found in him. And that constitutes the sifat subutiyya, the attributes which are found, the attributes which are there. And the other category, to put it in a simple sentence, every naqs, every shortcoming, every shortfall is not found in him. And this contributes, constitutes for the second category, that means asifatus qalbiyya, things which are not found in. Everything which is, every shortfall, every bad attribute, every evil attribute, everything which is a shortcoming is not there in him. Asifatus subutiyya, the attributes which are found in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are eight, and all those eight attributes are actually nothing but his essence. The first one is that God is alim, he's knowledgeable, he's all-knowing, and God being all-knowing is nothing but his essence, and his essence is nothing but his the fact that he's alim and all-knowing. It's one and the same thing. Attitude and essence is one and the same thing. The same Allah is alim, and the same alim is Allah. It's not two existences. It's not like this, that Allah was there and he was not all-knowing. Later on, he acquired knowledge like us, like the humans. No. He's unlike. His attributes are unlike us. He's unlike us. He's unlike any other thing. So his essence and sifat, his essence and attribute is one and the same thing. Same Allah is alim, all-knowing, and the same all-knowing is Allah. The second attribute of God is Qadir, that he is all-powerful. The third attribute of God is Hay, that he has his own life without relying on anyone or anything else, and everything else, life depends, is given by him. The fourth attribute of Allah is Murid, that means he's Sahibul Irada. He has his will. He's not forced to do things. He's not compelled or forced to do things. Whatever he performs has some system, and he wills to according to his wisdom and according to his knowledge. So he has his free will, he's murid, he's sahib-e-irada. The fifth attribute of God is mudrik, that means he has dark, that means he listens and sees everything and he knows everything. نحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد in Surah Qaf, verse number 16. Allah has said. So, the sixth attribute of God is that he is Qadim and Azali. He was there since ever and he will be forever. So, he is eternal. And his existence has no beginning and his existence has no end. He is Qadim and Azali. Quran has informed us, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ, and that is in Surah Al-Hadid. Verse number 3. So his life is actually reliant on his own self. He's not taking his life from anyone else. He's not relying on anybody else or anyone else. His life is reliant on his own self. It's his own life. His life. So it's not dependent on anyone or anything. So he's eternal. And the seventh and the second last attribute is mutakallim, that God speaks, he creates voices. In whatever he wants, in whatever thing he wants to create, he can create a voice without even a tongue. He used to talk to Prophet Moses, Prophet Musa, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi wa sallam, through a tree. He created voice in our tongues. He can create voice in anything. So he creates voices. He can talk without the tongue. And the eighth attribute of Allah is Sadiq, that he is truth-telling. He always tells the truth. He never lies. Because in the knowledge of Islamic belief, we believe and that lie is told either because of ignorance. People are ignorant about the aftermath of the lie, that's why they tell lies. Or because of the weakness, because some people think that they cannot go without telling a lie. For the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing among these two may apply, because he's not ignorant of the of any aftermath. He knows everything. He's not ignorant of anything. And second of all, he's not weak that he cannot achieve his goal without telling a lie. He can achieve anything he wants. So he doesn't stand in need of telling a lie. There is no reason for God to tell a lie, neither ignorance nor weakness in achieving the goal without a lie. The lie doesn't apply for Allah. He always tells the truth. And he saw that. So these eight are the sifat-ul-subutiyya or sifat-ul-jamal. They're attributes which are found in Allah. They are nothing but his essence. And they are the beautiful attributes found in him. And it's nothing but the essence. And the essence is nothing but the attributes. And the sifat-ul-salbiyya, the negative, or sifat-ul-jalal, that means the attributes which are not found in Allah. Every shortfall, every shortcoming, every bad attribute, every negative thing is not found in Allah. And those seven, the first one is that God is not murakkab and composite. He is not composed of parts. This is a negative attribute, being murakkab. Being composed of parts is a negative attribute, and it's not found in him. Anybody or anything which is composed of parts cannot form its full form without all the parts getting together. So for the thing to exist, it stands in need of all the parts to get composed together to form its existence. So it's a needy thing. Every composed thing is a needy thing, and it stands in need of its parts. God does not stand in need of anything. It's a negative thing, and it's not found in him. He's not composed of any parts. Otherwise, he would be a needy, and a needy existence cannot be God. The second attribute of Allah, which is the sifat al-salbiyya, that means the negative attribute, that means something which is not found, is that God is not a body, is not jism. Because every body is limited, and every body is in changing situation, and every body is also, it gets destroyed, and it's limited in its existence, and it comes to an end at some time. So God is not a body, is not a jism. And he's not mahdood and limited, and there's no taghayyur and change going on, and it's not going to come to an end. God is not a jism and not a body. Ya tudrikul absar, wa huwa yudrikul absar. And the third attribute of Allah
Can you hear me now?
So everything which is seeable has to be a jism, because we can physically, with our physical eyes, we can only see the bodies and jism. So when something is a body, it would be limited. Of course, it would be mahdood and limited. So God is not mar'i, that means he's not seeable, because he is not a body and he is not limited. And, what Imam Ali alayhi salam has said in one of his statements in Nahj al-Balagha, khutbah number 179, لا تدركه العيون بمشاهدة العيان. The physical eyes, in other words, they don't see Allah with the physical vision. ولكن But actually the reality of the faith, you see Allah through the reality. body, he cannot be seen by the physical eyes. The fourth negative attribute, that means the fourth attribute which is not found in Allah, is that he doesn't have a mahal, that means he doesn't have a place and space. He's not limited to any space because he's not a body. A body is limited to a space, and it's found in that specific space. God is not like that. He's everywhere. He's not limited to one space. That would make the person, Allah, to be a body and limited to that space only. The fifth sifat is salbi of Allah, the negative attribute, that is attribute which is not found in Him. The fifth one is that God doesn't have a partner. If He had a partner, He would also have been limited. And I would just take a couple of minutes of you before I move forward to the next two, last two negative sifat and attributes of God. When we say God doesn't have a partner, otherwise He would be limited, just think it in this way. When we say, let's suppose God has a partner, that means there is a partner to Allah, there is a second God, when do you say there is a second God? When you say there is a second God, there is something, there is second thing available, why do we call that thing to be second? There must be some distinguishing factor between the first and the second in order for us to call the first one to be the first and the second one to be the second. There must be some distinguishing factor between the two. That's why you call the first one to be the first and the second one to be the second. What is that distinguishing factor? Is there something missing in the first one which is available in the second? Or is there something missing in the second one which is available in the first one? If there's something missing, then the other existence which doesn't miss that thing and it has that thing should be called God, not the first one. Because something which has something missing in it, some perfect attribute missing in it, cannot be entitled to be called God. So when you say that there are two, why are you calling it to be two? Because there is, must be a difference between the first and the second. That difference distinguishes the first one from the second. What is that difference? Is that some perfect attribute or something available in one which is not available in the other? So if it is not available in the other, then stop calling the other one to be God and the partner to God, because it's noxious and it has a shortfall. It cannot be God then, because there's something missing. What has from that existence which has every perfect attribute in it and nothing missing should then be called God only. So it doesn't make sense to say there are two gods, because the very statement two implies that there has to be a distinguishing factor and distance between the first and the second. What is the difference? Is that difference of some attribute found in one which is not found in other? If there's a good attribute found in one and the other one missing out, then let's stop calling the other one to be God. It doesn't make sense to call two partners of Allah. So Allah doesn't have any partner. The fifth attribute, negative attribute, is that attribute which is not found in Him, is that He doesn't have a sharik and partner. If He had a sharik, God would have been not God. And, He would have been limited. Because two itself, when you say two, it makes the thing limited. And that's how two things are differentiated within each other, because there are some differences. That's why you call them two, and one is different from the other. What is that difference? Is that difference a positive attribute available in one which is not available in the other? If it is not available in the other, then the other is not supposed to be called a partner. Let's just call the first one to be God only then. So it's not possible to believe a partner to Allah. The sixth negative attribute of Allah, that is attribute which is not found in Him, is that we believe that God doesn't have ma'ani. God doesn't have ma'ani means that all His sifat are ainul zat. This is what we mean when we say God doesn't have ma'ani. Sahib ma'ani nahi. Ma'ana na darat. Allah ka koi ma'ana nahi hai. Ma'ani nahi hai. What we mean is that God doesn't have his attributes za'id par zaat. His attributes are ainu zaat. His attributes are nothing but his essence. It was not like that, that his essence was there without the attributes, and later on he acquired the attributes. That would be nuts, and that would be a shortfall, and that would not be God then. So God doesn't have ma'ani, that means his attributes are not extra and added over his essence. His attributes are nothing but his essence. It's one and the same thing. They are ainu zaat. And the seventh and the last sifat is salbi, that is the negative sifat and attribute of God. That means the seventh attribute which is not found in God is that he is not muhtaj. He doesn't stand in need of anyone or anything. Because something that stands in need would be limited and would be having shortfall. That's why it wants to fulfill its need from someone or something, because it has a shortfall. Where Allah doesn't have no shortfall, He is perfect and absolute, and He doesn't stand in need of anything or anyone. So the best statement to say, talk about Allah, is what is mentioned in Surah Ash-Shura, verse number 11, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. There's nothing like Him. That's the best way we can talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And certain sifat of Allah are, of course, we have different names of God and different sifat of Allah, attributes of Allah. Certain attributes are big and certain attributes are bigger and certain attributes are the biggest. And of course, like I give you the example, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Shafi, He gives the shifa and cure. But the ism, this name of Allah, Ash-Shafi, is under the umbrella of the name of Razik. He gives the cure and shifa because He provides the sustenance and risk. So Shafi ism is under the ism and name of Razik. And Allah is Razik and provides the sustenance. This ism is under the umbrella of the another name of Allah, which is Allah is Khaliq. Allah provides the risk and sustenance because He is the creator. So He has to provide the risk and sustenance. So the name of Allah, Ar-Raziq, the one who provides the sustenance, falls under the umbrella of another name, which is Khaliq, the creator, Al-Khaliq. And the name Al-Khaliq, the creator, is under the umbrella of another name, which is Al-Qadir. That means our God is all-powerful. He has the qudrat and strength to do anything He wants. So, Ash-Shafi is a great name of God, but it is another under the umbrella of another greater name of Allah, which is Ar-Raziq, the one who provides sustenance. And Ar-Raziq is under the umbrella of another greater name of Allah, which is greater than that, and that is Al-Khaliq. And Al-Khaliq is the creator. Al-Khaliq is under and a greater name of Allah, which is Al-Qadir. So there are certain names which are great, whereas there are other names which are greater, and there are certain names which are greatest. And of course, one of the greatest name of Allah is of course Allah and Ar-Rahman, which are specific names, which is the specific name of Allah, and it's not okay in Islam to name anybody with the name of Rahman. It is specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you very much.
Now we are moving to the question answer session. Aisha_48, please ask your question. السلام علیکم، میں خالد کر رہا ہوں لاہور سے. تو جو کہ میں سائشہ نہیں بول رہی تھی، اس کی وجہ سے مجھے جمپ کرنا پڑا تھا. پہلے سے پہلے میں سائشہ سے اور ایڈمن سے اور جو لوگ یہاں بیٹھے ہیں ان سے معذرت کرتا ہوں. کیونکہ میں سائشہ بول نہیں رہی تھی، جس کی وجہ سے مجھے ان کو جمپ کرنا پڑا، جس کی وجہ سے میں ایڈمن سے اور جو یوزر یہاں پر بیٹھے ہیں ان سے معذرت کرتا ہوں. آپ لوگوں کو آواز آ رہی ہے میری؟ اگر آپ کو آواز آ رہی ہے تو پلیز ٹیکسٹ میں لکھیں تاکہ. اچھا جی، تو میرا جو پہلا کوشچن تھا آپ لوگوں سے، جو ایڈمن صاحب نے یہاں پہ اسپیچ کر رہے تھے بہت اچھی تھی، ان سے میں سوال پوچھنا چاہوں گا. جب اللہ تعالیٰ جو ہے وہ خالق الرحیم ہے، غفور الرحیم ہے، معاف کرنے والا ہے، اللہ جو ہے 70 ماؤں سے بھی زیادہ پیار کرتا ہے، تو کیا اللہ تعالیٰ کل انسان کے گناہوں کو نہیں بخش دے گا؟ جب ایک ماں اپنے بچے سے اتنا پیار کرتی ہے کہ وہ اس کی ذرا سی تکلیف نہیں برداشت کر سکے، تو جو اللہ ہے وہ 70 ماؤں سے بھی زیادہ پیار کرتا ہے، تو وہ اللہ بندے کو کس طرح گزن پہنچا سکتا ہے؟ پہلا اس بات کا جواب دیں. اور دوسرا جو ہے بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، اس کا ترجمہ شروع کرتا ہوں اللہ کے نام سے جو بڑا مہربان اور رحم کرنے والا ہے. اگر اس کا ترجمہ اس طرح طریقہ سے ہے کہ شروع کرتا ہوں اللہ کے نام سے، تو شروع میں تو پھر شروع آیا، اس کا ترجمہ اس طرح کیوں نہیں ہے کہ اللہ کے نام سے شروع کرتا ہوں جو بڑا مہربان اور نہایت رحم کرنے والا ہے؟ اور یہ ثابت ہے اعلیٰ حضرت سے، اعلیٰ حضرت امام احمد رضا خان علیہ الرحمٰن نے اس طریقے سے ترجمہ کیا ہے کہ اللہ کے نام سے شروع کرتا ہوں جو نہایت رحم کرنے والا ہے، جو نہایت مہربان اور نہایت رحم کرنے والا ہے. تو اس طریقے سے اللہ کا نام جو ہے شروع میں آتا ہے. تو پلیز اس کے بارے میں تھوڑا سا ڈیفائن کیجیے گا، میں بات سن رہا ہوں. اوور ٹو یو ایڈمن صاحب.
Okay, before I pass it over to the speaker, I would like to translate the question so that non-English speakers, sorry, English speakers can also benefit from it. The question is, if God loves man 70 times more than a mother, and since a mother forgives her child, will Allah not forgive man on the day of judgment? Since these are very specific topics related to Tawheed, and we encourage questions only related to the topic discussed in class. We can answer the second question later if time. So I'll pass it over to the speaker for the first answer to the first question.
Certainly Allah loves his creatures, al-khalq wa-iyali. Allah loves his creatures way more than a mother loves her children. No doubt about that. And Allah is all merciful. His mercy is ahead of his wrath and his anger and wrath. But we should also remember that the same Allah who is merciful is also Qahhar and Jabbar and Muntakim, and he takes the revenge from those who are criminals. So he is Adil. God is just. And we should never forget the fact that God is just. He always performs justice among his servants, and he should do justice with his servants. Otherwise, if he treats everybody alike, the good doers and the bad doers alike, it would be injustice, and God is above and beyond injustice. He never performs injustice. That would be unfair, and God never does something which is unfair. Yes, if somebody is subjected to extra mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fazl, this is something which is up to Allah to provide extra mercy to someone or not to provide. It's so Allah is just, and he has to take care and differentiate between the good doers and the bad doers. Otherwise, there would be no difference between those who have obeyed and those who have disobeyed. There has to be the difference. So that's why Allah has created the hellfire. Otherwise, he would have never created the hellfire, because he's all merciful. But in addition to being merciful, the hellfire itself is also a mercy towards the good doers, because the good doers suffered, and they require mercy on the Day of Judgment. So one of the mercies for the favor of the good doers is the existence of hellfire for the criminals. This is mercy on the good doers, that Allah will send the criminals to the hellfire. This is also a mercy to the good doers. So this is all about the justice of God.
Okay, the next person, Sal Firdaus, please ask your question. Since there are no other questions, there's one question that I have, and that is regarding the attributes of God. And before I ask that question, there is a question from our first speaker who couldn't, from first audience who could not get the mic ready. The question is, she wants to a little bit of explanation on the subject of Al-Qayyum.
Who sustains, who survives on his own and makes all the rest of the things sustain and survive. So he is surviving on his own, and all the rest of the things are surviving because of him. Such a creature, such a existence is called Al-Qayyum. So God is Al-Qayyum, and this is one of the greatest attributes of Allah, that He is Al-Qayyum, because He Himself is surviving because of His own self, and everything else is surviving because of Him. And this is a unique attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
If you have questions, please raise your hand by clicking on the raise hand button so that we could ask questions in sequence. There's another question, and that question is as follows, that when we say that God is the creator, does it require that God create a creation before we can call him a creator, or because creator is an attribute that is related with an act of doing something? So if, when there was a time when there was no creation and there was God alone, would God still be called a creator and merciful, whereas he hasn't done mercy on anyone?
Yes, this is a very good question. We have certain sifat and attributes of Allah which we call and classify under the classification of sifatul af'al. Sifatul af'al, the attributes about the acts of Allah. The attributes about the actions of Allah are not aynul dhat. They are not essence of God. They are different. So Allah, like the Khaliq attribute, that God is the creator. He creates. So this attribute is related to an action of Allah. And unless God creates something, power to create. That's why, remember, I told you that the attribute of Al-Khaliq, the creator, falls under the umbrella of another attribute, Al-Qadir, that means all-powerful. Yes, Allah is all-powerful, and that is nothing but His essence. His qudrat and power and strength is Ainuz-Dhat, nothing but His essence. But as far as Al-Khaliq, the creator attribute is concerned, it's related to an action of God. And action, is attributes of action are not His essence. He is named with those attributes when He performs those actions.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Salfirdaus. And she says, could you please repeat the 8 attributes of Sifat-e-Subutiya?
Are number one is Alim, all knowledgeable. Number two is Qadir, all powerful. Number three is Hayy, is alive. He has his own, his life is his own, and he gives life to everything else. Number four is Murid, he's Sahibul Irada. That means he has his own free will. He's not forced or compelled to do anything. He performs and builds everything according to his absolute wisdom. And number five is he's mudrik. That means he has dark. That means he sees and listens and knows everything. Number six is that God is qadim and azali. He was there since ever and he will be forever. So his existence doesn't have a beginning and doesn't have an end. Number seven is God is mutakallim, that is, he creates voices in whatever he wants. He can talk without a tongue. So, and number eight is God is sadiq, that is, God is always truth-telling.
If you would like to participate in these online lecture series, please visit www.al-asr.org. The website once